today on Real Radio.
Christian, the return of Jesus Christ in your life and my life should be the most joyful, exciting event, and we should long for it. And listen, I am not going to use this word incorrectly. Are you ready for this? We are to be lusting for the return of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Know, Pastor Jack continues in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. In this time and season, the world around us either lives in uncertainty or takes no thought of the future. That's why the true believer mustn't be ignorant regarding coming events and also should take every opportunity to share the gospel. Where the return of Jesus is alive in the heart of the Christian, there is a purpose and a hope that they can bring to others. Today, Pastor Jack describes our moment of destiny, that whether we are indeed awake in this world or have passed on, we as believers will live forever with Him. Therefore, we're to comfort each other with these words, just as Christ comforts us and gives us strength. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus says the world's going to be like a pregnant woman in pain. And you know what? The double negative is she can't get away from her pain. Everywhere she runs, who goes with her? The pain. And that's how the world is. The world is pregnant with sin. Well, doesn't show. Oh, it will. That's what's so deceiving about young people. Young, the kids, they think they can just go do something. I'm young, I'm stupid, I can do it, I'll last forever. My parents say no, so that means yes. My parents said yes, so I must not want to do it. And now one mess up can cost them their lives. Heard of a student that is in a local high school, AIDS. One mess up. The world is pregnant with sin. You may not see it yet. The Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You may have been sowing seeds, and you're saying, hey, I'm getting away with this. Things are going pretty good. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing. Listen, that thing, that seed's pregnant, and it's going to come through. And Paul is warning us not to judge us. He's saying, man, listen, by the way, we've all been pregnant with sin. Jesus has cleansed many of us. But the world will not be able to escape from its judgment that it is under. We will, as he gives us the great division between those who are trusting in Christ and are not. He says in verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. Isn't that great news? This is not going to wipe you out, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. He warns us right here in verse 4 that it's not going to happen to us because we're not of the darkness. The church ought to know this morning how and what to know so we can walk this walk. He tells us that we need to be sober. And this doesn't mean, you know, oh, boy, you look really miserable. You must be ready for the return of Christ. I am. I'm sober. I'm expecting right now the most joyful, most glorious event of the entire universe. That's not what it means. You've got control of your life through Jesus Christ. God is working in your life. You're following Him. You're growing. He's with you. You know it. Even though some of you might even be backsliding right now as we speak, you're His. You're His. To be sober, to be watching, is to be scanning the horizon and to be waiting for Him. When I think about the meaning of this word to be watching in verse 6, to watch, let us watch. I remember being a little guy standing. Maybe you've done this, maybe we've done this recently. Standing. Somebody told you they're going to pick you up. And you got your little lunch box and you're waiting there. Can you see yourself? Remember your little Levi's are rolled up on the end? You got little Converse white high tops, they're about that big. And you're waiting there, got a little button-down collar, you button up the neck, 110 degrees. Got your little Snoopy lunchbox, and you're waiting. He'll be by to pick you up, okay? And you're waiting. And you're watching the corner. You know he's coming from that corner over there. He's coming over there, and you're watching. And here comes the car. Oh, it's not that. That's not that guy. Comes another car. Oh, no. You ever been there? We've all been there. And then it's like it's at night. Oh, is that the headlights or not? Oh, maybe. Oh, no, no. He's waiting. That's how the church should be. Lunchbox in hand, waiting. Oh, no. Oh, here comes another. Oh, here he comes. No. And then an hour, you think not. Is that him? No, that's not him. Put your head down. There's a honk. Big angel strapped to the grill. You know, blast. Hey, what? In an hour, you think not. I'm here. Get in. Yes. My ride has come. He's coming again. He's coming back. There will be those who will be caught sleeping. There will be those who will be awake. In your Christian experience, or whoever you may be this morning, which is it for you? Are you ready? Jack, I'm struggling. I didn't ask you if you're struggling. You can be ready and be struggling. Well, I haven't raised anybody from the dead recently. That's okay. That's not the prerequisite. Are you watching for him? I'm going to tell you something that the person next to you does not want you to know. Their life's messed up. They need Jesus Christ. Somebody's saying right now, honey, I knew it. See? I told you I don't like to go to church. Just a bunch of messed up people. And of course, the person that would say that is messed up more than anybody because they can't even see their need for God. We need him. Our lives, we need him. And for some of us, it's Jesus, will you hurry up and pick us up? Please. He's coming again. But it's not going to overtake us as a thief. The day will not sneak on us. You want to jump ahead for a second and see the reason why? See the reason why I think we'll be out of here? In verse 9, he says, for God did not appoint, ordain, establish, set us aside, make an appointment for us to experience wrath. That is judgment, vengeance of God, indignation. But what does it say? To obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this verse teach? Look at verse 8 that precedes it. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of number one, faith, of love, and as a helmet on top of your head, hope of salvation. And this is the beautiful part that leads right into verse 9. This is what it does not teach. Verse 8 is not saying, oh, I hope I make it in the end. Salvation. Oh, wouldn't it be great? It's not saying, someday, if I tithe and join the choir, and maybe I'll be saved. That's not what it teaches. The faith, the love, are in the aorist tense. It's now. You have faith now. You have love now. You have, it says, what? Salvation now. It is a hope that you are not hoping to obtain. It is, are you ready? A hope that is a reality now. Is the world bonkers? You have a hope now. It is a deep, abiding peace and a hope that is transcendent of what's going on in the world around us. It is the peace and the hope that Jesus said that I give you, the world will not understand. That's what he gives. And you're to have it now. Your salvation is now. You are saved now. If you accepted Christ last night at the crusade, and you're here today and you die today, you're going right into the presence of God for all eternity. I can't think of better news than to give you than that. And if I was sitting out there, I'd say, amen, man, you bet. What an incredible thing. It's free from works. But because that's true, verse 9 is the fifth blessing of promise given in the book of 1 Thessalonians. For God did not ordain or set us aside to experience his wrath, but to walk in, experience now the salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a current thing. We're looking for the rapture of the church to deliver us from these things. And you might say, well, that's wishful thinking. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1:10. It says, and we are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That is the indignation, judgment of God. It has nothing to do with hell. It has everything to do with the tribulation period. Study it and see. Turn to Revelation, excuse me. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope? What is our joy? What's our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? We're getting out of here. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. So that we may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Listen, he is going to be returning to rapture us up out of here with all of our friends and Christian family who have died in the church age. He's going to bring with them to pick us up, and the resurrected dead will rise first. I had somebody tell me the other day, we were in Russia actually, and this guy goes, I know, man, my friend's church, they're going to rise first. And I said, how do you know this? He says, because I've been to his church, and the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and it's the deadest church I've ever been to, so they get to go out before us. That's good. That's not what it means, but that's really good. It's not what it means. But those who have died trusting in Jesus Christ, their bodies in the ground, but they are with the Lord. And when he comes back, the Lord's going to call their body up, and we may see in a millisecond of time, a nanosecond of time, we might see their body come up and go, whoa, and then hear, what's that? Oh, my goodness, and boing. We're meeting him with them in the clouds forever. I can't wait. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. No, six. Look at 16. No, look at 15. For this, Paul says, we. I love that when he talks like that. Listen. Paul, 2,000 years ago, he's waiting. He's on, got this lunchbox. He's standing on the corner. For this, we say to you by the word of the Lord. I mean, God said it. That we who are alive, he expected himself to be raptured any minute. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede, that is, go up before those who have died believing in Jesus Christ. That's what the word asleep means. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. I'm glad. I don't want no angel picking me up. I want God to pick me up. No, angel. God, he's going to descend. He is going to descend himself from heaven. By the way, who is that? Jesus Christ, of course. With three warnings or three announcements, a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we, not them or those, we who are alive and remain shall be harpazo. Remember that? Raptus, raptured, caught up, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always, always be with the Lord. The fulfillment of John 14, verses 1 through 3, of course, right there. And then verse 18 says, therefore comfort one another with these words. We'll jump over to verse 11 of chapter 5. He says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Christian, the return of Jesus Christ in your life and my life should be the most joyful, exciting event, and we should long for it. And listen, I am not going to use this word incorrectly. Are you ready for this? We are to be lusting for the return of Jesus Christ. Lusting means with a strong passion and a drive and a burning desire that we so often associate with evil. But it's not always appearing in that context in Scripture. We are to be lusting for the Lord. Is that true and happening in your life? God did not appoint us to wrath. What a beautiful thing that is for us. to rejoice in and to be glad in. The goodness of the Lord. Christian, we will escape the tribulation that's coming. The prerequisite is for us to be trusting in the Lord, to be following Him. And we'll end with this. It says in verse 10, it's Jesus who died for us. Verse 9 ends in that beautiful crescendo through our Lord Jesus Christ. 10 says, who died for us? People, Jesus was not murdered. There was not a tragic event on that hilltop, Golgotha Moriah, nearly 2,000 years ago. It was ordained of God. He died for us. Jesus said, I wish I could see this. Don't you want to hear Him and see His face when they're all hassling Him? And He says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down and I raise it up again. You kill me, 3 days later I'm going to rise from the dead. How did He say it? Don't you wish you could see His face? Wouldn't that be great? All these religious guys, and they're all snooty, and they're fighting Him. They think they're really hot. Ask Him this. Go ahead. Yeah, this ought to get Him. Try this one on Him. We'll get Him on this one. Jesus says, nobody takes my life from me. I put it down, and I raise it up. That ought to get your attention if you're not a Christian this morning. Jesus predicted His own death because He was the one that ordained the moment. Would you die for me? Would I die for you? As a parent, I'm sure that if there's a truck going down the hill where I live and my child is playing marbles out in the street, before I rescued her from that predicament, I'm sure without thought I would spring into action and sacrifice myself, pushing her out of the way. Even if I had to, you know, push her violently out of the way, I'd rather have her bruised than smashed. And I would take the wheel. And people do that all the time. It's something that God has put in the hearts of a parent and even some people to do. But what if we're not so close? What if my blood is not flowing through you? Would I do it? I don't know. I haven't been there. I haven't done that. But I have a pretty good hunch that if you knocked on my door and spit in my face and plucked out my beard or my hair and began to beat me, and then you threw me on the ground and you got some chains from your last weekend snow trip up in the mountains and you began to rip my back open with those snow chains, and I'm a bruised, bloodied, battered mess, and I was able to stand up and regain somewhat control of myself, and you give me the one-way sign, have nothing to do with Jesus, and run out from my home and try to cross the street, and I see you in danger, and I run in my bloodiness and push you out of the way to rescue you, to sacrifice myself, so that you're safe after treating me that way, what would you think? You'd say, well, you'd be an idiot. In fact, while the person's running away from your house, you shoot them and then drag them back in your house and say something happened. Or, well, what would you do? What do you do when somebody wrongs you? Would you die for them in that moment? Jesus hangs on the cross and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. It says that He died for us, and you might be saying this morning, well, look at me. I mean, of course He died for me. Really? No, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The lovely for the unlovely. He died, it says, verse 10, for us. Who? We wouldn't die for each other. But God in holiness died for us. And you wonder You wonder if you're valuable? You got to tune into some radio thing to listen about self-esteem? What for? Why settle for that garbage? When God thinks you're awesome, even in your depravity, he sent his son because he loved you so much to die on the cross. You have a problem struggling with your self-worth? That the God of the universe came and died on the cross for us? I mean, you can go. We can take a field trip right now. All of us will go right out the door, and on the left-hand side is the nursery. And I bet you, the little guy in there with a goober in his pants, he's going to be the least guy, the least picked up guy in the whole thing. Because, hey, he's a little active guy here, isn't he? His diaper's full. But everybody, you know, congregates over to the little cute, little smelly one that's all foo-foo and... Listen, we were a diaper. You think I'm kidding? God says, the Lord says in the book of Isaiah that our righteous acts that we've ever tried to show God, oh, I'm pretty good, he says, is as filthy rags. And you go look it up in the Hebrew, I don't want to say what it is. He died for us. Are you going to make it? He died for you. You're free. Are you a Christian and you're feeling guilty? Why? If you're a Christian, you've done something wrong, repent and confess and settle it with the Lord. But don't feel guilty. If you're not a Christian this morning, we don't have to talk about guilt. You can join in with the troops and say, I have peace, we are safe. I have peace, we are safe. And try to convince yourself, but it won't happen until the King of Peace moves inside your heart. And that's the message verse 11 wants us to pass one toward another, is that, listen, pal, God loves you. And we're going up. We're going to be delivered. He's nuts about you. Doesn't matter how bad you were. Doesn't matter how good you were. We all need him. There's nobody exempt. We need him. And how scriptural it would be as a church if we did verse 11. To comfort means to parakaleo. In the Greek, to come alongside and to embrace another and help them along. We need to be involved in home fellowships and ministry so that we can help others along, care for them, and love them, and comfort them, and edify them. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we come to you, and Father, we pray that Jesus, the warnings of yourself and of Paul and of Peter, of James, of Jude would be exciting things for us, things that we see as not a bunch of no-nos, but Lord, as a bunch of commands of love.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Know. Thanks for listening today. And you know, if you pursue peace with all people, they will see the reality of your faith. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. You can look for specific lessons. You can look for specific topics if you'd like. And while you're there, be sure to check out the videos that Pastor Jack makes. Listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love seeing him on the TV or on the computer screen. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Catch up on some programs that you might have missed. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.